This is the Friday, November 26, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Hello, I'm Paul Yeager. The economy is a constant work in progress. Inflation, higher inputs, and supply chain issues have been the biggest topics the last few months. And we are producing this program on Tuesday and again are taking this opportunity to look at a broader view of the economic landscape. Dr. Ernie Goss is the director of the Institute for Economic Inquiry and a professor at Creighton University. And Chris Robinson is owner of Robinson Ag Marketing, a division of TJM Institutional Investor Services. Gentlemen, good to see you both.
Hey, good to be here.
Ernie, you send these reports out twice a month, looked at the one last week. Mm-hmm. There's something buried in there that we didn't really talk about, or we don't talk about much on the show, and it's mm-hmm. sentiment and opinions. But what else what's lurking in these reports that maybe aren't making it in the first few lines of them?
I don't know if I'd say lurking, but it's definitely there. Everybody's talking about it as supply chain disruptions, of course. And it's true for agriculture, true for farming, true for both the inputs on the outputs for agriculture. So it's a big, big issue. And as you said, our sentiment index was down significantly, even as the economy, the rural Main Street economy, is continuing to expand. This part of the country, if you look at what's going on in this part of the country, you're talking about GDP. We're back above pre-pandemic levels, but when you look at the jobs, we're still 3% below what we had in pre-pandemic levels, and that's true for Iowa, that's true for the states that we survey, whether it's Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, almost all the states are still below pre-pandemic levels.
The day before we taped this, Jerome Powell was given another term, or at least nominated again. There's theories that his way of managing this economy has been, he's been trying to get us to full employment. Has that been a good strategy?
Well, I'd call it a sentence, not a... I don't think so. In other words, we're talking about inflation now running year over year, over 6%. We're talking about the Thanksgiving dinner is up 14% from this time last year. And and that's a lot to do with what the Federal Reserve has done. And in this case, we used to call it Helicopter Ben. I'll call it Helicopter Jerome. He's up there in the helicopter throwing money out to all of us, and we're now, of course, spending that, and it's resulting in higher and higher inflation. So no surprise now, he's decided he's going to pull back on some of that, but not, in my judgment, not fast enough.
But there's a theory that came out just middle of last week, towards the end of the week, that a lot of this inflation might be tied to energy and oil. Do you subscribe to that? It doesn't sound like you do.
No, it's certainly a portion of it. I mean, and by the way, for we economists, and we subtract out energy and agriculture and get the core index. And the core index has been rising as well. And as you know, the president's just now indicated they're going to take from the strategic reserves to cool the prices. Now, think about this. We're talking about cutting the Keystone XL pipeline. Shut it down. Shut down new drilling on federal land. Shut that down. And that's for climate change. And then we go to Saudi Arabia to cut a deal for them to produce more oil. Now, I believe we breathe a lot of the same air that Saudis do. I mean, we're talking about some crazy things going on.
The environmental policy has been part of that. The Keystone, though, and other pipelines, maybe not a major portion of the oil output. I seem to remember oil not that long ago was at zero. What's happened? What's changed?
Well, we're talking about demands significantly up, and that's what we're talking about across the globe. And we're talking about supply down. We're talking in lower and lower supply. So it's all about supply and demand. When demand's up and supply's down, prices go up, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing gasoline prices, for example, up as much as over a dollar a gallon, depends on the area of the country you're in.
Chris, I know you discuss a little bit about supply and demand in one of these commodities that we're going to talk about later. Do you see the oil and gas story as a supply-demand issue?
Oh, yeah.
The biggest driver right now and why prices have been higher?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's the number one driver. I don't care. You know, it always comes down to supply and demand. You have disruptions and obviously shutting down the economy. That was something we'd never done before. And that's when you saw crude oil drop to actually negative. Going back to then, we had never gone below about 940. That was back in 1986. So that historically, you know, that was unusual. But yeah, you also saw a huge jump this year, really in the past year, in natural gas. Natural gas went from, you know, $1.50 to $6.50 just vertically. And that's demand driven. And that's really negatively impacted farmers and producers because the fertilizer prices have doubled. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be not going to be fixed quickly. And it's going to impact the acres that are planted this year.
You've been cheating. You've been looking at my questions ahead of time, Chris. That's coming up in a little bit. Farmers are really curious about that acreage battle. Dr. Goss, when it comes to asking questions on either of your surveys or any of your research, do you rotate questions in and out about like what Chris just talked about mm-hmm. the higher input costs and what are mm-hmm. either those bankers telling you or what are they hearing? What is coming across mm-hmm. in those surveys?
Well, we have fundamental questions mm-hmm. that we ask each time, but then we do, as you say, rotate in and out. And what they're telling us is fully that the supply chain disruptions are having significant impacts. And the primary one that's reported by, these are bank CEOs in rural areas of 10 states, the number one factor is transportation, whether it's getting at the ports in L.A. and Long Beach or in the interior of the U.S. Domestically, we're talking about truck drivers to carry, whether it's corn to the ethanol plants or ethanol from the ethanol plants. We're talking about finding those truck drivers and just simply supply chain disruptions, whether that's other factors that has disrupted that transportation. And that's a big issue.
While you were talking, the video we just ran were of all these container ships, Port of Los Angeles, Long Beach, wherever they were at. When you see all these pictures, what goes through your mind?
Scared. I'm frightened. In other words, you see that in some cases we're talking about prices up significantly because of these delays. I mean, and you're talking about now a lot of your audience out there is going to be, of course, going into holiday and Christmas buying. And are you going to get any bargains? The answer is no. You're going to find a lot of empty shelves out there. So buy early and plan well, because you may find that store that was open at 9 p.m. in the evening, no, they're closing at 6 o'clock, or they may even close at 4 o'clock. So plan well, and that's, you'll be rewarded for doing that in terms of out there in the retail stores.
My family and I went shopping last weekend, and we went to a larger mall in the Des Moines area, and I have never seen that mall that busy ever in the years we've been over here. It didn't look like anybody was scared to go shopping. I asked at the furniture store. It was going to be, are you at the 9 weeks, 10 weeks? No, 8 to 9 months to get a piece of equipment. What's that do to an economy long term when you hear numbers like that on a return of something I ordered?
Well, we're talking about pushing up prices. There's little doubt about it. And what that does to the availability. Shoppers are out there, you got to get ready for longer lines in terms of checking out. You're talking about in-service availability in the stores, less and less. We're talking about, in addition to the transportation issue bottlenecks, I didn't talk about the shortage of workers, the availability of workers to fill these jobs. We're talking about across the board, but in agriculture as well, that the bankers we survey report that that's an issue in agriculture, in manufacturing, and those two industries, I guess you could say, except for agriculture and manufacturing, we're okay. Well, those are two very important industries, especially for this part of the country.
Chris, how many customers that you talked to of yours were in need of some hired help this year, and did they find them?
I think everybody that needed to find it, they did eventually find people. And there, a lot of them were actually going, hiring kids that were in high school that were home anyhow because of the pandemic. So that kind of worked out. I think that in other parts of the country where it's really labor intensive, like in California, where there mm-hmm. takes a lot of manual work to do that, that's really where it's been probably more of a pinch. A lot of what happens here in the Midwest is obviously mechanized at the end of the day, but yeah, I think I agree with him totally. I mean, you have definitely a supply of available labor, a shortage of supply of available labor.
When you see the pictures of the high stacked container ships. What goes through your mind?
What's inside them? No. No. In fact, I used to have a contact that was in the port of L.A. I've lost touch with him, but he used to call me all the time and talk me about the backups, and I have not heard from him probably since pre-pandemic. The interesting thing was that used to be its own little, like, micro-economy where they actually would try and predict, what they were going to need, especially with the frozen containers. But I think that, with the amount of material that's sitting at the port of L.A. alone, I don't know how long it's going to take to get those containers back. And the other key is to getting those containers back to China, right? So it really wasn't so bad in the beginning of the pandemic. I think it was the Delta variant really kind of threw things off the whole supply chain. I think they took that first hit, but then the Delta variant really messed up the supply chain. And I think it's going to take a while for it to work itself out, regardless of who's in charge or what they say. At the end of the day, the market's going to have to work it out its own.
There is no such thing as a new normal, but when do we return to our regularly scheduled hours in business?
I'll say it like every economist does, about 6 months out. No,
but in honesty, that's what it's
exactly
been.
It. I mean, Janet Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, that's what she says. I think we will see some relief in the second half of 2022 in terms of supply chain disruptions. And when Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, says transitory, the inflation is transitory, life's transitory. It depends on your time frame. And the time frame we're looking at, we're now moving into something that's not transitory. It's sort of sticking with us. And we will see prices pull back. But we're at now 6.2%, as I said, year over year. Pulling back to 4 and 5%, we're still that's twice the Federal Reserve's target that we had 2 years ago. So we're all of a sudden, we're accepting more and more inflation. That's the new Federal Reserve. And some could call that modern monetary theory, where you just print more and more money and it no consequence. And as the head of the, he was the Herb Stein, back in the Eisenhower administration, chief economist, said, his point was, if something can't go on forever, it will stop. In other words, we just don't know sometimes. But we are looking at at least 6 months, well into 2022. We're looking at short-term interest rates rising perhaps as early as the first half of 2022. Long-term interest rates have already begun rising. So,
Chris, do you see an impact if in the ag sector if interest rates start ticking back up? Is that good or bad?
I think higher interest rates, makes borrowing money more expensive. So if you're worried about, especially the 10-year is really kind of like the benchmark for mortgages and car notes and things like that. The big worry is, 4 years ago, the big worry was what happens if the 10-year gets to 4%. Right. Now it's what happens if it gets to 2%. And that's going to be the interesting thing. I think we're about 1.6, 1.5, 1.6 right now, creeping up. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be enough to derail the market? And I think the person he just got reappointed. God bless him. He has the worst job in the world, because it's almost like no matter what he does, with the interest rates, there's a danger of a blowback. If they don't do it fast enough, we have higher inflation. If they do it too fast, you could tip into a recession. So yeah, I would be concerned if I'm, a farmer or producer and I've got to borrow money. If you can borrow interest rates today, and they tell you that, they say, it's only going to go up a half a point. Well, a half a point starts to add up if it starts getting more aggressive. So that would be the worry longer term, is what happens? How fast do the interest rates go up? And nobody knows that answer. We're going to have to wait and see. And I think the only thing you can do is watch that 10-year, watch that yield curve, because the market, I think, will probably tip its hand before even probably the chair of the Federal Reserve will.
Okay. I have one more question for you in just a moment, but mm-hmm. I have to do a little business here, so sit tight for a minute. Again, we are taping this discussion on Tuesday, and for the 2 days of trading, let's close the markets for you. The nearby wheat contract added 33 cents, while December corn improved a dime. The January soybean contract also gained 10 cents. December meal shed 960. March cotton shrank by 77 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, December Class 3 milk futures lost 2 cents. A green week in the livestock sector. December cattle expanded $1.87. January feeders put on $3.45. And the December lean hog contract increased by 40 cents. In the currency markets, U.S. dollar index improved 49 ticks. January crude oil gained $2.78 per barrel. COMEX gold dropped $62.20 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index added more than 11 points to finish at $5.78.70. Chris, let's start with wheat. Because of the global nature, this supply keeps getting eaten away. We asked you about supply and demand earlier. Is that the biggest story in wheat?
We've known about the wheat issue really for the past three or four USDA reports. You go back and look, especially for the high protein wheat. And, you know, it was ebbs and flow, but you saw that big move, especially with Minneapolis spring wheat. That's what led us up. Now you've got Chicago and KC at eight-year highs. And you're also, now you're starting to see the money start to chase it. You've got money managers coming in and they see that because, you know, when you're at eight-year highs, it's like, all right, they want to get in on this game. It's an inflation hedge. People want to own physical assets. But wheat, out of all the grains, wheat actually has a really bullish story because there's not enough supply. And even though Australia had a very good crop this year, they're having problems with being too wet. So they're concerned about that. Every day we come to work, we always wait for Russia to say when they're going to start eliminating or dialing back their exports. So that's always something to keep watching. But I look at it this way. If you're a wheat producer, you know, these are great. It's a great opportunity. The best prices in 8 years.
Well, you just kind of stole what I was going to say. Is this one of those, I think someone wrote this week or today that I said, you're looking at a gift horse in the mouth?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be making some sales right now if you were ahead some wheat.
Absolutely. Or setting a hedge. You know, and you're not calling a top, but we all have seen how volatile these markets can be in the past, you know, certainly a year and a half. And that's the other thing. We're coming out of the previous 7 years where we didn't have a whole lot of volatility. We were kind of flat. We had a trading range market. Things completely got reset with 2020. So I don't play the game of saying it can't go here, it can't go there. All I know is you've got an opportunity. In the last 6 weeks alone, wheat's gained almost $2.
Yeah.
In 6 weeks.
In corn, it keeps following the others. When is it going to have its own story?
Depends on what happens in South America. And also, you're already starting to see 2022, you kind of have a disconnect between old crop corn and new crop corn. New crop corn is trending higher. It made a new contract high today, 560, 570. So that market's already out there buying those acres. And if you're a producer, if you haven't looked at 2022 next year, those are really good prices. And again, setting a hedge or making a cash sale, you're not locking in that you can manage that risk after the sale. A hedge doesn't mean you're calling the top. You just don't want to wake up and say, hey, we had a $1.50 rally here. We did nothing about it. We just lost half of it. We could have done something. So that's the key.
In soybeans, is this a supply issue or a dollar-driven issue on what's driving this market?
Well, right now, our beans are more expensive than South America. South America, even with sending it to China, it's less expensive than our beans. So that's a factor holding against us. They've planted a huge crop in South America. So far, there hasn't been a weather issue. I know this is La Nina year, and everybody's hoping and looking for a possibility of a drought issue to drive prices higher. Nothing like that's coming out of there yet. So you've also seen that, I think, with the Chinese buying. They've kind of been folding their arms. They've kind of been waiting. They bought a little bit when we were at 9-month lows last week, but they're waiting to see what happens with South America as well. And that's key. So I think that the fact with the U.S. dollar being at 1.5-year highs certainly doesn't help our exports. But I think the bigger thing is what happens with the supply in South America.
Do you see the dollar still as a big story?
Absolutely. You got to think
the dollar is going to rise. Of course, that puts downward pressure on agricultural commodity prices, and with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates now, people will say, "Well, they haven't done that." They will do it. I think we're looking for two rate hikes in the first half of 2022. That's 0.5%. That'll put upward pressure on the dollar. We're talking about this month. The Federal Reserve is pulling back on their quantitative easing. that's buying bonds, long-term bonds, that's going to put upward pressure on the dollar. Now, it's not going to be as dramatic as perhaps I'm saying, but we will see, in my judgment, a higher value of the dollar, which would put downward pressure on agricultural commodity prices.
All right, let's get back into livestock. The dollar is playing there a little bit on exports. Is export the biggest story in the live cattle market right now?
The exports have actually been pretty good. They haven't been as good as a lot of people want, but we've had a nice recovery after coming off of about a 3 or 4 month low just not that long ago. So if you look at the feeder cattle versus the live cattle, I would say this. I'm less concerned about the near-term markets. The deferred markets are all bid. They're all bid across the board, especially in the cattle out in the future. So you may see that type of spreading moving forward. Now, as far as what the demand's going to be in the next 3 to 6 months, your guess is as good as mine. So far, it's held up pretty well. It's certainly come back a long way from where we were at our pandemic lows. And not that long ago, we were at contract highs. So all in all, I think the cattle market looks pretty strong. You're starting to see the cash market finally catch up with the futures market, which is one thing that people have looked for. And we continue, I think we're going to talk about it later on, with the prices of food at the grocery stores. Boxed beef continues to hold up relatively strong compared to where it has been in the past 2-3 months. So that, to me, there seems to be good support underneath the cattle market.
And would you be expanding your feedlot right now?
If I'm going to expand my feedlot, I'm going to make sure that I've got some risk management on for the possibility that corn goes through the roof. If corn goes through, if you've got East 22 corn goes north of $6, that's going to completely change that the business decision, I think. So if you want to expand, I get it, but you've got to take into account the risk that if we have much more expensive meal or corn prices, it's going to affect your bottom line.
All right. Are you long hogs right now? In the sense of, are you expanding in that?
Oh, I look at the deferred months. That's a great opportunity. They're all out there. All these markets in the deferred months are buying, they have a lot of buying interest in it, and that's giving great opportunities. In the near-term months, you've seen some pressure in lean hogs, mostly because, I think, for number one, technical reasons, money flow. Money flow continues to want to come in, though, and own physical, not only the grains, they're long all the grains, but they've stepped in and they're long cattle. So that's also, I think, supportive. But I think for lean hogs, the nearby month has been under some pressure. These hogs have been under some pressure. But when you look out to Feb and longer, they all have pretty good bids in them.
Dr. Goss, your freezer, how full is it of meat? Have you been stockpiling?
Paul, I have. Yes, I have all.
Do you think many consumers are doing the same thing?
I bought today.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Before you heard what Chris said?
Yeah, that was before I heard what Chris said. Yes, I bought. No, we're talking. The problem, and economists and farmers have this in common. We're always very cautious, and we're like, we want to. Well, it could have been better, and that's what we're talking about now. And this agricultural income, farming income this year, net farm income, would be the highest since 2013. And our surveys show that, well, that's the good part. The negative part is we're going to see we're seeing already the best farmland price growth that we've seen in our surveys since 2012 and 13. You say, well, that's a good thing. Well, farmers aren't in the business of selling farmland. They sell what grows on the farmland, and that means higher property taxes. And as Chris said, and you brought out as well, Paul, is what about natural gas prices? What about we're talking about other fertilizer costs, all those cost increases, yet the price, the commodity price, the agriculture, whether it's corn, wheat's a bit different, but soybean's down. The profitability is less now probably for now, even though net farm income is going to be up this year. But still, there's some significant pressures on the cost side for the farmers.
All right. Dr. Ernie Goss from Creighton University, thank you so much for
Paul.
Contributing to our discussion, Chris Robinson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
I got a whole bunch of questions just for Chris coming up that you submitted. We'll talk those in a moment when we go. Leave this broadcast because that is the end of our Market to Market TV show. We'll do more talking in Market Plus, so you can join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. And this program was available first via our website and YouTube. If you subscribe to our channel, you will be the first to know when we publish our individual stories, the Market Plus, and the full program. Subscribe today by searching Market to Market on YouTube. Next week, we look at shaking up a niche market with a fresh local supply. Thank you so very much for watching. Have a great week.